Wow. That's what happens when you are self-producing and you're trying to do like a couple different things at once and you're not keeping up with the time in your head of the intro music. That's how that rolls. It is the 25th of almost said the 25th of December. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, kids. I wish it was the 25th of December. I'd kind of just like to get through the year. Let's get through the year. But at the same time, we don't want to push things. We have steps that we have to take to get there. It is the 25th of April, 2024. Happy Thursday to all of you. Hey, in case you didn't know, just as a reminder, it was like 24 years ago today in a movie that a contestant gave one of the best answers to a beauty pageant question. What is Miss Rhode Island? Please describe your idea of a perfect date. That's a tough one. I'd have to say April 25th because it's not too hot, not too cold, and all you need is a light jacket. Yes, some of you remember that. It's April 25th. Some of you need a light jacket. What a beautiful day in the great state of Texas. Welcome to all of you who are listening live all across North America. Our friends up in Canada, bonsoir mes amis, and our friends in the rest of the continental United States. And those listening on the speaker, it's the man on the speaker night. For those of you in Texas and the Republic of, it is good to have you guys here and our friends always down south in Mexico and in South America. For those of you listening on the replay, our good friends who are living in the Philippines and doing the work over there, Denmark, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, all over the EU. It is a blessing. The Conley is a little bit tardy on responding to some of the emails, so I'm going to get to those probably later tonight, and some of the messages over on the Conley Show on the Facebook page. We're gonna play catch up. I hope everybody had a fantastic day today. You know, we're bumping up on 300 episodes, which is amazing to me. That will happen, God willing, and the river don't rise on Monday. Still. Pretty incredible milestones. And we're touching right now at about 105,000 total downloads. I never would have imagined that. Those are words and things that are coming out of my mouth. I never in my life thought I would ever say. So thank you. That is a credit. And it is to all of you who listen, who share the show. And I've been working with some folks. We're going to try to get some things going up on the Patreon page. Maybe make that on a three-time-a-week basis. Maybe moving into on a daily basis. So you guys can check that out over there. A lot of things were happening today pretty much across the nation when it comes to the legal system. Trump had two very important cases going simultaneously. Obviously, he has the Alvin Bragg case, which is going to be probably the case that they're going to try to hang their hat on to get him convicted. And even at that, it is thinner than Joe Biden's hair. It's thinner than a thought that goes through Joe Biden's brain. But that's going to be the one they're going to try to hold on to. SCOTUS had several different oral arguments today. The immunity case for President Trump was obviously the one that people were paying attention to. I'm going to play you several clips with one with Mike Davis, one with Julie Kelly. And if you guys are over there on X, formerly known as the Twitter, that is an excellent account. It's Julie Kelly. I think it's Julie_Kelly2. That is an excellent account to follow. She does the yeoman's work with following all of the cases, and I mean all of them. She handles the majority of the January 6 cases. She she's not an attorney, but she is well versed in the law. She's man, especially when it comes to J6. She's done a lot to expose the judge or the judges. how they are actually kind of interconnected and connected to what is going on with Trump. And she's focused on Mar-a-Lago and the Jack Smith case. She's obviously focused on a little bit on what's happening with Bragg, but Mar-a-Lago and the Jack Smith case is where she's hanging out the most. We're gonna talk to, or we're gonna play a couple of clips from her that have to do with the SCOTUS case today. And then Mike Davis is another one to follow today. For those of you that don't remember, Jeff Clark is the former acting attorney general towards the end of the Trump administration. He is another one of those. And if for those of you who've been listening for a while, you know that name. You also know John Eastman's name. Eastman just went through his own disbarment trial in California. Jeff Clark is going through one in D.C. They've yet to have a ruling on his status. Jeff Clark is a neat Christian guy. He's at the Center for Renewing America with Owen B. Director, Russ Vogt. Super neat men, very smart guys. Earlier today, Jeff Clark puts out, I don't know what you call it now. I need some of the younger people who know the language, know the lingo. It used to be a tweet, and I think people still call it that. But he put this post out on X. And it was interesting because it kind of laid out a little bit of what is going on. President Trump has a landmark U.S. Supreme Court immunity argument today. His trial in New York resumes today, about a jerry-rigged non-crime of payments for silence about personal matters tied to two well-known liars of low repute. Yesterday, they indicted everyone, and in case you didn't know, I'm going to get to that here in a second. Yesterday, they indicted everyone in Arizona that questioned the 2020 election. We're at a tangent here real quick. The attorney general in Arizona, who won by less than 900 votes, has now suddenly taken up a case very similar to what is happening in the state of Michigan, where the state of Michigan, where the corrupt Stalin-esque attorney general up there has gone after those Trump electors who decided to file different electors, call them fake electors. Now, up in Michigan, the median age of those individuals is 69 years old. There's been a couple polls that have come out over the last several days showing that former President Trump is ahead of Biden in Arizona by 7 points, 10 points, 12, and he's gaining. And then yesterday, the attorney general in Arizona, the illegally elected attorney general in Arizona, decided to file cases against the fake electors and then named a lot of the Trump people, including John Eastman, including Boris Epstein, including a bunch of other folks, Rudy Giuliani et al. Very similar to what had happened in Georgia. That is what Jeff Clark is referring to. Back to his post. He's got a federal documents case ridiculously brought under the Espionage Act. He's dealing with Fannie Willis in Georgia. That's kind of been memory hold for the time being, has it not? There's still some things that case is waiting on, which happens to be, a decision on the case today in front of SCOTUS regarding immunity. That also is going to impact Jack Smith's case out of Mar-a-Lago. Mind you, that case was really not investigated in the state of Florida where the alleged crime happened. They did that all back in D.C. Get into that a little bit later. They're trying to steal his New York real estate empire based on a victimless civil fraud charge. No victim in that case. The one that Letitia James brought with Engeron, that person that looks like he shouldn't be sitting on the bench, but possibly living underneath a bridge, and that kind of troll looking dude who made up the value of what Mar-a-Lago was to him, $18 million. Wrong. That civil fraud case. They said that he doctored some of his, or misrepresented some things on his applications for loans that he paid back with interest, and then had the lending institutions, Deutsche Bank being one, actually testify on his behalf that nobody was hurt or harmed. That is the level that they are having to stoop to try to, quote unquote, get Trump. Trials and tribulations. Hang on. And he has a crazy cat lady who can't remember the day she purportedly had a run-in with Trump at a department store. Who also had a jury say that he did not do, sided with Trump, say that he did not do what she alleged that he did. And it took the judge in that case to interject himself at the end. When he said, you've got to pay whatever it is, $100 gazillion to the crazy cat lady. Who then said, interjected the R word and said, that's what he did, when the prosecution never proved that he did do that. And the jury never found that he did that. The judge had to then insert his own biases. And then now that's what the left-wing propaganda media complex uses and say, well, he's done that. You know, there you go. That's the game. Here we go. And yet he keeps going. Trump makes the Energizer Bunny look like Rip Van Winkle. Meanwhile, the special counsel assigned to look at the Biden documents case gives Biden a free pass, literally, because he's a doddering old man that people might sympathetically acquit. That was his post. And he and I go back and forth a little bit. Some, not a lot. We go back and forth a little bit. And on the X. And that got me to thinking. Trials and tribulations. Many are waking up because of them, seeing them, many for the first time, for what they really are. That is the beauty of how God works. Strengthening those actually going through them while using them to show people the power over darkness in their example. And I know that Jeff Clark was obviously speaking specifically about Trump. But there are so many relevant applications to all of us who are all going through our own attacks from Satan. You may feel like you're at the bottom. You may feel like it's more heavy than you can imagine, more heavy than you can take on. And yet, whether you want it to be this way or not, people are watching you. People are aware of what is happening. And they have their own perceptive lens that they look through. They have their own perspective of what it is that they see you doing, how you're handling that. And you may not think you're doing a very good job. You may feel like I could be doing better. I could be, you know, I can elevate. I need to rise up a little bit more. And that's the time when God's probably just gently tapping on your heart. There's a couple things that, you know, you could be. and you can get reset and you can get refocused and you can go forward. But most of the people who are aware of whatever situation it is that you are going through really are cheerleaders for you. They really do want you to succeed. They really are in awe of how it is that you are dealing with all of these things. I've only told a select few of everything that has gone on with me in the last 7 years. Now, some of you know what has gone on in the last 7 months, and you know, with the death of Sammy. And that is still, here we are now only 8 months away from that. That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. And I am blessed to have people around me, and I'm blessed to have you who send me messages. They're like, I can't believe, I can't imagine, you know, all of those things. And no different than you, there are people who know even a lot more about a lot more things. And they do the same thing. Sometimes when you tell your story and you give your testimony, people will go, oh, how many times have all of you have listened to someone else's testimony and go, holy cow, I can't even imagine. Look at what God did with them. Invert that a little bit. Take that in, and it's not a pride thing. It is not it's not a bragging thing for you. If you happen to think that it is, you do need to kind of celebrate your wins, especially when you don't think that you're value is such that you shouldn't. And that's the beauty of the family. That is the beauty of the family. And there will be people who will pierce through all of that muck. And then they'll begin to take a rag. And then they'll begin to wipe that away. And then you start seeing a little clearer through your windshield. Not through your back screen, because you don't really want to look back, but you always want to look forward, and people will begin to wipe that away for you. Isn't that neat? Because that's all God. That's all God. And that's what got me, that's what Jeff Clark's tweet on X got me to thinking about. We see what is happening with Trump. Many people are disgusted by that. But imagine the number of people who would not become aware of the corruption, not just within this country, not just within this judicial system, but the conversations that are happening all over the globe in their own homes, with their own corruption, and then even deeper at other levels. It's not just about politics. It is important. It is important to find something that you want to, not that you want to, but is set on your heart to go fight for. You want to get into the political arena. It's not necessarily running for office. We've talked about this before, though. It is being involved at the school boards. It is being involved at the city council and those meetings. You may not feel like you have the desire to speak until later on down the road, but you're there to support the people who are. We've talked about different military occupational specialties, right? Not everybody is within the sports special warfare community. Not everybody is just a, you know, 0311 line grunt or an 11 Bravo for some of you other folks. Some of you are doing other things. Some of that is in support of those people, right? But you are still participatory. You are still active. You're still doing. Or 3259. Now, let's get back into some of the SCOTUS stuff. Let's listen to Julie Kelly. She's going to give you a little bit of better breakdown of what happened today in front of the Supreme Court. The DOJ's attorney is not very good, and you're going to hear that a little bit later from Mike Davis. Sauer, I think it's John Sauer, who is Trump's attorney, who was arguing in front of the court, did a very fantastic job, did a stellar job. But we're going to get into that, okay?
Historic day at the Supreme Court, huge day up in the courts in New York. Also, a report magically appeared from the Judiciary Committee, an interim report on the criminal conspiracy against President Trump. Voila, we'll get into all that. Actually, Seb Gorka's been grilling Jim Jordan over his radio show. Seb's going to join us. I want to go to, and I want to say thank you to Justice Alito and Gorsuch. You know, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm particularly not a constitutional lawyer, but I can listen to those guys all day long, ask questions of these lawyers, and you just learn so much about this. Julie Kelly, you did it, tweet by tweet. Walk me through your assessment of this historic day at the Supreme Court.
Where do you start? I mean, those were great clips to begin with. I think it demonstrates how complicated, unprecedented this question is, and most importantly, the long-term consequences, which Neil Gorsuch and Sam Alito and Brett Kavanaugh, to his credit, I thought he did a really good job today too, kept raising and still driven, didn't really have a good answer for that. So he kind of was all over the map. Well, you'll have attorney generals and they will prevent a president from committing criminal acts. He has the best legal team, so he can ask lawyers whether or not. And of course, the joke about grand juries and prosecutors, for a Department of Justice and state prosecutors who, their approval ratings, people's trust in those institutions is diminishing, cratering actually every day. So it's very complicated. There are a few ways that the Supreme Court could settle this, but I think overall, the majority of justices indicated that they believe that presidents should not be criminally prosecuted, at least for what is deemed official acts or core functions of the presidency. But Steve, the hairy part there, right, the unknown, is who makes the decision as to what is a core function of the presidency or what a personal, private, / political act. Presidents act personally for personal gain and political gain every single day. I mean, presidents now, you have a Joe Biden, who is doing everything that he can to use his presidential authority to try to win re-election. So who makes those decisions? Jack Smith, Tanya Chutkan, the 3-judge panel, circuit panel, the justices took some shots at today. So that is really the complicated nature. And that's why there's not going to be, I think, a tidy answer from the court with a little bow on it, either giving Trump a 100% victory,
or they're going to give him a partial victory and kind of kick it. It's not that they're going to kick the can down the road. And no, this is not Julie Kelly changing her voice. I just kind of stopped it and interjected it right there. What they're going to do. I'm going to get to that comment too, Nikki Knight. That's a good one. What they're going to do, and Mike Davis is going to lay it out, and I happen to agree. I was thinking of the same thing, and then I saw what he had posted on X, and I agree with that. And I was chatting with some other friends of mine who are not the best and favorite Trump supporters. Kind of happen to have an agreement with that too, we'll get to that here in a minute because we'll listen to Mike Davis. I think it's really spot on. What the comment was in there in the chat. And this is also important, and this ties into with what it is the show is about, trials and tribulations. It is giving him publicity. And in an odd way, that is its own campaign contribution. Is it not? It is keeping him in the news every day. And in so doing, you are having more and more people become more and more aware of what it is actually occurring. Even if they're watching the dolts over there at MSNBC or the dipwads over there at CNN, who, by the way, had Jeffrey Lubin the Tubin on today. The fact that that man is even still employed is stunning. And yet at the same time, it's not. Especially when you look at who the contributors are over there at CNN and MSNBC. You have Andrew McCabe, former assistant director at the FBI, along with Peter Strzok at different times at CNN and then MSNBC, all the Crossfire Hurricane people. And you're like, how can that be? I'm about to tell you, because there is a reason why that Andrew Weissman is at the forefront at MSNBC. The failed Andrew Weissman, the dirtbag Andrew Weissman. Mike Davis is going to give you a little bit about him. But they need to put those people out front to give them an amount of legitimacy, because they are so failed. How did Weissman fail? Give you the most latest example. $35 million with the Mueller report. It wasn't Robert Mueller running that investigation. Robert Mueller has an issue very similar to what Joe Biden has. And we saw that during the hearings when he had to testify about his report in front of HPSI. That's the House, for those of you in New Mexico and those of you eating rice and cilantro chicken. It was Weissman and the 11 other Democrat lawyers, attack dogs, who put all of that together. And my favorite question to everyone who wants to, just the Mueller report said this and the Mueller report said that, whatever, whatever. Listen, did the House, and given the environment, given the state of emotional angst and pearl clutching going on then with Adam Bullschiff, okay, why is it that they could not impeach him over the Mueller report? They had to wait until they could find whatever they determined to be the right time. And that happened to be when Vladimir Zelensky got elected, promoted, whatever, as president in Ukraine. And that scared the Adam Schiff out of them, because now the uncontrollable one that is Donald J. Trump was now talking to the dude who was supposedly in charge of the country where all of these bad things had been going on for decades. And that's why Cimarola, the whistleblower name that we couldn't say, there's some more information that has now come out about him, more documents, more emails showing the interconnectivity between him, Vindman over at the National Security Council, and then Schiff, and then the White House, not the Trump White House, former White House people under the Obama Biden administration. Couldn't say his name. What? Can't say his name. What? What do you mean? What's wrong with the whistleblower statute? They had to go. We went through all of that. And now that's also something that you can go back and show to people, like, well, what's going on? Do you really think that those are all arrows that you have in your quiver? That is what all of these things are all about. These are all arrows in your quiver. Truth arrows. Margot Cleveland, Margo Cleveland is a senior legal correspondent over at The Federalist. The Federalist is a better than decent publication. She's also of counsel over at NCLA Legal, and then she was 25 years as a Seventh Circuit law clerk. She writes some very, very good articles. She's also another really kind of good follow, or someone if you're not, you know, well versed in the law, or you feel like you want to get a little wonky and get into the weeds, she's another one to get into the weeds with. This is actually a really good statement. And it was an excellent take on what was happening today, but it really what is happening more broadly with all of these cases. And she said this: what struck me most about the SCOTUS argument regarding immunity is that Trump's lawyers' worst case scenario is reality of Democrats' lawfare against Trump, while the Biden administration's worst case scenario is fiction of how they perceive Trump. And if you have an opportunity, and if that's something you want to do, plenty of audio clips of the arguments before the Supreme Court today. Plenty of transcripts of and plenty of accounts who were doing their best to keep up, who were sharing what was going on while they were listening to the audio. And you can see it. You actually, most of you, when you think about it, you're like, well, it sounds about right. Regarding most all of the cases, regarding most anything that it is having to do with Trump, they have to make things up. And that's projection. So when they project and then they go into gaslighting mode, nobody really didn't say that. No, that's not really what happened. And for most people, that's an assault on their psyche. And they're like, well, now my head's spinning. That's the purpose and that's the intent. When you're able to step back a minute, have a breath or four, clear your own head, clear your own mind, and then go, okay, I want to look at this, you know, as objectively as I can and as critically as I can, you find that the Trump's lawyers' worst case scenario is actually the reality of the Democrats' lawfare against Trump. And you find that the Biden administration's worst case scenario is fiction of how they perceive Trump. You can hear it from the liberal judges on the court. Sotomayor, Kagan, the other judge who can't define a woman. And they're making up all of these hypothetical SEAL Team 6 scenarios. Well, what if he engages SEAL Team 6? And then we got the 75th Ranger Regiment coming from over on the left. And then he just decides to push the button and we blow it all up. What then? That's exactly, yes, I know. Ketanji Brown Jackson. Ketanji Jackson Brown. Yeah, Cage, you have ACB, you have Amy Coney Barrett, and then you've got KJB. Ketanji. That just sounds bad, doesn't it? It sounds like the you know, the old, not the new, because the redo of Jumanji I didn't care for, but the old one with Robin Williams, loved that movie. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like we've got Jumanji Jackson Brown. That's maybe what's going to call her. That's the name. That's going to be the name for her. So Jumanji Jackson Brown, because that's what the way her mind is, non-reality, you guys can see the questions. And then you can actually see the back and forth between the different judges, whether it's between Sotomayor and Kavanaugh, whether it's Sotomayor and Alito. And in the end, it's going to end up being 5-4, roughly like that. Let's get into the Mike Davis clip so you can get a better perspective of where he's coming from and what he thinks is going to happen. Yes, we have the long-haired one, Steve Bannon, at first, but then here comes Mike Davis.
On a delay process. The content of this, they thought was a belly laugh. This is ridiculous. This never should be brought up. But to Julie Kelly's point, this is pretty intense questioning by some of the biggest brains on the court, was it not, sir? And it kind of, I thought, how come this has never been addressed before? Mm-hmm. Mike Davis.
So is this the same Michael Dreeben who lost 9-0 on the Enron case with Andrew Weissman as the prosecutor? Is the same Michael Dreeben, the same Michael Dreeben who lost 8-0 with Jack Smith's prosecution of former Virginia Governor Bob McDonald? Now all three of these clowns are together and they're arguing before the Supreme Court. Look, they're going to lose at the Supreme Court. President Trump is going to win a narrow victory here. It's going to be 5-4, maybe 6-3, depending on how Justice Amy Coney Barrett rules. The Supreme Court is going to rule very narrowly that the President of the United States, any President of the United States, is immune from criminal prosecution for their official acts, not their personal acts. They're going to remand this case back to D.C. Obama Judge Tanya Shutkin. She's going to hold an evidentiary hearing, as she should have done in the first place, and she's going to decide what are official acts. For example, Trump was trying to fire his acting attorney general. Well, you can't do that as a private citizen, so that has to be part of your official acts versus something that he did in his personal acts. And then whatever she decides, hopefully she's not a moron again and just blanketly decides that there's no immunity. That decision could be appealed to the D.C. Circuit, will be appealed to the D.C. Circuit on an interlocutory, meaning immediate basis. If the D.C. Circuit Democrat hacks get that wrong, like they did last time, this could come back to the Supreme Court, right? And then in the meantime, as Julie Kelly's been covering masterfully, the Supreme Court's going to rule on the Fisher case. And the Supreme Court's almost certainly going to reverse these January 6th criminal convictions, this post-Enron statute that Andrew Weissman used to go after these January 6th defendants. It's a corporate statute used to go after corporations that are shredding documents and obstructing corporate investigations. And they've weaponized this in the Justice Department to go after January 6th defendants. They've also weaponized it to go after Trump. Jack Smith's case, two of the four charges against Trump relate to this obstruction statute that the Supreme Court's almost certainly going to reverse. And so what is Jack Smith going to be left with this January 6th case against Trump? Two of the four charges are going to be gone. There's going to be presidential immunity. So about, I'd say 80% of Jack Smith's case is going to be gone. And oh, by the way, he's not going to be able to try President Trump before the election. President Trump's going to win. His acting attorney general on day one is going to dismiss this case with prejudice, as he should. And then his acting attorney general will almost certainly open a criminal probe on President Biden. These Democrat prosecutors, these Democrat judges, these Democrat witnesses, these Democrat operatives, like the Lawfare crew, like Andrew Weissman, who have looks like run an illegal criminal conspiracy to violate civil rights. And I can't wait for that. I'm going to be all in for that.
This was the importance of this day. I'm going to go to you. If you saw the run up of both of the Fisher situation,
Fisher is something that is coming down the pike as well. And it's if the podcast host was more prepared, he would be able to tell you what that is. It's code, it's section 15, I think it's 1502 1562, I think it's 1502. It is what the DC judges are using to basically I almost said a bad word, and it's not time for the un-Jesus words to come out. It is what the DC courts are using on the J6ers. That goes for the 72-year-old grandma who was inside the Capitol for 11 minutes, took some pictures, and then walked out. It's going to reverse nearly, I would say, probably 80% of the J6 cases. What the courts have already, as the courts try to get ahead of the curve on this and try to get ahead of SCOTUS, they have already intimated that they will pursue other avenues to go after these folks with. Okay. They are going through their own trials. They are going through their own tribulations. Are they not? A lot of those people were not, they were going, and let me back up. Most of those people were at the Ellipse while the president was speaking. And if you look at the timeline of January 6th, the bad actors and the agitators were already at the Capitol doing what they were doing. That includes Ray Epps and the likes. Okay. Busting barriers, windows, trying to gain entry. Most of these people that this very, very corrupt DOJ has gone after are people that came after, that came later, that were 15, 20 minutes behind after all the tear gas and all the stuff was going on. How many officers died that day? None. And it was still this year. Because he doesn't know where he is, that Joe Biden still gave the lie that five died. They were saying that even last year. And it wasn't just him. They still have to push that. Two people. There were four, but two primary people were killed that day. Ashley Babbitt and Roseanne Boylan. Roseanne Boylan was beat to death. And the video of it it's not even hidden. It's out there. But why did the Unselect Committee and J6 not play that? We all know the reason why for that. All right. Now, yes, Antifa was there too, along with other folks who worked for some folks. Cutouts. There you go. It's those type of things that we are all so well aware of. And yes, they kind of boil the blood a little bit. And it should. Now, they use it in a way, or their purpose is designed to get you so angry, to enrage you so badly, that you will not stay even keeled, measured, that you will not stay reasoned, that your emotional levels will then escalate. So then you'll go do something and then they can turn around and say, see, we got you. We got you. This is what we were doing. Speaking of J6, Ryan Fournier over here on X, and this is not the first person to really say anything about this, but he just came out with this today and this afternoon. Ran a post. Whoops. Where did it go? Why did that disappear? That's because it logged me out. 13 banks. Don't need it. 13 banks. Working with your federal government. The 13 banks are Bank of America, Chase, U.S. Bank, Wells Fargo, Citibank, Truist, Charles Schwab, HSBC, MUFG, PayPal, Santander, Standard Chartered, and Western Union. All working with your federal government in relation to January 6th. That is not necessarily news, and yet at the same time, it's news and then not surprising. Then that's not to get you fearful, but it is to let you know that you might not possibly want to look at other banking Yes, I'm well aware. All trying to move to the digital bank, the digital wallet, all yes, understand that too. We're all on the same page. We're all on the same page. But this is another example of how they're working, coordinating together. And yet you're not surprised when you listen to Schwab, not Charles Schwab, but Schwab over there at the WEF. They already told you what it is that they are going to do, how they are going to work with governments and private industry, put a tamp down on all this misinformation, all this disinformation. So yes, we're looking at social credit scores. We're looking at all of these different things. It's all kind of coming together. It is all making sense now to some. Some of you are having to fight your own lending institutions or your own banking institutions. Many of you remember it wasn't that long ago where people were walking into Bank of America branches saying, I need to withdraw money. And they're like, you can't. They're like, no, I want to get my money. And they're like, but you can't. Same thing at Wells Fargo. That woke a lot of people up. Trials and tribulations. In Massachusetts, this is going to get a little... we're going to get off a little topic here, off of the election stuff. Because it's sad, but it also gives you an idea of where the thinking is going. We can already see a lot of the discrepancies over the last several days and even since 7 October, but definitely over the last several days here in the United States, with how certain states or certain cities are dealing with their free speech issues on public universities. By the way, the University of Southern California has said that they have canceled their outdoor graduation ceremony because of all of this. Now, you have some people that go, that's sad. It is. It is sad to a degree. And when you think about it, the odds are high that there were a lot of those kids who are going to graduate who all went through the lockdowns and the school closures and didn't even get to go to their own high school graduation. And now they're looking forward to possibly going to their college graduation, and their university is shutting down their graduation. Now, here's the thing about that. That is sad. That's a trial and tribulation. But it is interesting to watch how the left is eating itself, how the Marxists are eating itself, how the Marxists are dealing with themselves. Yes, Abbott, completely the hypocrite. I saw a lot of people yesterday who were like, there goes the Texas DPS. You just don't mess with Texas. Well, you don't mess with Texas. You don't. Mess with us, we'll go back to being our own country, like we started out to begin with. And at the same time, he had a completely, that's correct, he had a completely different take when it came to the pandemic. When it came to BLM and the Antifa riots during the summer of fire and the summer of Floyd. Make of it what you want to, which you're allowed to do. Whatever it is that you think is going on in Israel, whatever it is you think is happening with the Jews, and the different makeup and the dynamic that is within that country politically, no different than here. No different than Russia. We got to get rid of the Russians. Who? Be more specific. Mass deportations of everybody. We're sending everybody back. Why? Who? Do you want to just send the bad actors back? Do you just want to send the bad people back? Or you want to send the Christians? If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, and you are calling for mass deportation, shame on you. Shame on you. Especially if you're one who is supporting missionaries abroad when the mission field just came into your and parked itself right at your front door, by the way. Total different topic. But you had Abbott send DPS onto the campus of the University of Texas. And obviously there are more clips out there, but we all see the snippets. Mind you, I wanted you to step back just a hair. Just step back just a hair. Have a breath and then refocus. And then rethink about things. Think about what it is that you're seeing. And try to, again, assess it objectively instead of emotionally and with an amount of bias. We see that on the social media platforms. Now you begin to understand the true nature of fifth-gen warfare. How many of those who are the true agitators aren't really there because they want the river to the sea stuff? Palestine is not their real cause. And it brings up another question that has now come about today in the state of Texas, as Travis County and the judges in Travis County have released and chose not to prosecute nearly upwards of 100 of those cases in front of them. Now, some of them were released on bail. All right, there's some, but the majority of them, they just released out. So no, we're not going to take them on. The first instinct is, well, that's Travis County. Travis County is the home to Austin. Austin went from keeping it weird to now we're just trying to not make it as stupid as we're trying to be like Portland. Are they right? Are they correct? What is your response? What's your initial response? And I see a lot of it. Did you investigate the cases? Did you read the article to begin with? You have a lot of people just responding to things because they see the headline. That's the nature of fifth gen warfare. So be mindful of that. Obviously, as we continue to go along, because we are going to have stories like this out of Massachusetts, and you're going to go, wow, why? Now, this one, you definitely need to pray for and pray about and pray over. Because Massachusetts school officials responded to a transgender student's hit list. 40 people on this individual's list. A transgender student in the middle school within Watertown Public Schools in Massachusetts created a hit list with the names of families and staff on it. In January. And Parents for Defending Education, that is a group there in Massachusetts and elsewhere, they FOIA'd the emails of the school district because they wanted to know why the school district didn't tell anybody, why they didn't tell the folks what was really going on. And instead of dealing with the student, what they did was they created an LGBTQ affinity group and they started conducting anti-bias training. That's what the school district did. In January, a faculty member overheard students talking about a hit list created by a transgender student at the Watertown Middle School. The staff member searched the student's Chromebook. For those of you who don't know, it's a Chromebook. It's like a laptop. found a document that was entitled Hit List. The school notified the police about the incident and interviewed the student in question. Following the investigation, Watertown Public Schools Superintendent Dee Dee Galston issued a statement about the hit list, claiming that officials determined there was no credible threat to the student's safety, which did not set well with most parents. We're grateful to our staff for quickly assessing the situation. Claimed the student did not plan on carrying out acts of violence and was simply expressing their frustrations on paper. Superintendent informed the parents that the students would be returned to the classroom, claiming that the student wanted to, quote unquote, make amends with the individuals featured on the hit list. Parents of the students named on the list became irate after school officials explained that they wanted to make a more progressive approach to address the matter. Many parents felt that the school's response was too lax. Jennifer Chen Fine, the school's principal, responded to the apparent threat by stating in an email to colleagues that the school needs to tackle anti-trans and other biased behavior. Lily Raymond Reed, a school counselor there, responded to the threat by calling for empathy for the creator. She then expressed the need for an immediate creation of an affinity space for LGBTQIA+ families. Now, you hear about some validity to that. You're not going to understand something. Yeah, we need to address it. But here's where it gets crappy. A forum was held at the school for parents of the students featured on the list, which resulted in Galston, the superintendent, saying that the concerns of the parents was student shaming. One of the parents sent an email to the school following the meeting and wrote, "I am very frustrated with the lack of information. I am frustrated about your steps to ensure the safety of the school environment and your plan for reintegrating the student who wrote the hit list." The superintendent went after the parents, attacked the parents of the children on the hit list or on the hit list themselves, and said that they were the problem because they were student shaming. That is the direction that we are headed, unless you headed off, unless you were one of those parents, unless you were one who says, no, enough is enough. I'm just calling your BS out. I'm not going to have that in my school. I'm paying for you, and you don't get to dictate to me the level of safety for my child. Now, if that's not another example for why the public education system in this country is so ridiculously failed, it's not even broken. It's in a bizarre thousand gazillion pieces and has been swept up and just tossed away. And the money that they keep continuing to ask for, the money that your property taxes, especially here in the state of Texas and elsewhere, continues not to fund education and learning. You're funding this. And I can tell you, most of you are aware that there are children all across the world who are learning. We talk about the vax mandate that was instituted against our military, that was done by design, so multifaceted in purpose and its intent, get rid of the ones who weren't going to take it. And then it was also a manufactured force drawdown. They've not been able to recover the number of people that left. And it's my personal belief, I know some others who have the same opinion. I also have friends who are of a differing opinion, but it is my belief that it was designed to further weaken the United States military while putting in robots who do want to come in. Okay. This is no different. And it's been going on for a long time. Many of you recognize it. Many of you know it. It's why you've moved your kids out. You either homeschool them or you have them in a private school that you've been able to vet. But there's tens of millions of kids who are still stuck in the system. And they are stuck in a system with people who are just like that. And most of them are liberal white women. And shame on them. Shame on them. Now, if that's something that touches your heart, if God's just going, yeah, this is something we need to talk about. And this is something that I want you to get interested in, or you already have an interest in it, and you feel compelled to do something, don't sit, don't wait. Don't sit and don't wait. They may not be your children, but they're still children. And if you want to save the kids, you want to hashtag save the children. I know that January is child sex trafficking month. Every month should be that way. But also every month should be about saving children, saving kids. Well, they got enough crap going on with them. And they're being assaulted from so many different venues, so many different avenues, more so than us Gen Xers, and even the millennials or the Gen, I always forget who comes afterwards because it just doesn't matter. Because Gen X, we are the generation. But our kids are open to more things. And they are under assault. Even as parents are saying, listen, we're going to restrict here. We're going to restrict here. And there are parents I know personally who are holding and standing fast with their convictions of saying, no, you're not getting a phone yet. And if you do, it's a flip phone. Oh, it's not cool. You don't need to be cool. You just need to have access to be able to call me and communicate with me. That's it. But so-and-so, and we've all been through that. Those are the parents that we have to stand up and support with. Those are the parents that you're going to be aligning yourself with when they go talk at the school boards. Trials and tribulations. Trials and tribulations. All designed for you to... If you were going, we are all going through them, not if, as we are going through them. Yes, iron sharpens iron. Yes, you got to be in the flame before you can get strong. All that kind of stuff. I understand that. I'm not even making light of the fact that a lot of people are going through things, but they are. It doesn't diminish that. You are going to get stronger. And you are already. By going through what it is that you were going through, an example to people, an example to people that you don't even know, an example to people that, let's say this, let me give you an example before we go into the long prayer. The stand-in executive producer has told us we're having the long prayer and not the dinner prayer tonight. Let's say you're going through something in your life and you've got a tribe of people and you say, hey, you reach out to them and you go, hey, listen, I've got a prayer request. I don't do this often, but you know, here you go. I need some prayer here. And I've watched this happen. I've had it happen personally. I know that a lot of you have as well. And then they're like, you bet. And then you've got about, say you got five people and three of them, you know, that you tell, and they're like, we're going to put you on the prayer list. How many people are on that prayer list or within that prayer group? And there's going to be people that you don't even know. And then somebody's going to be within that group go that you don't even know. And they're going to put you on their own prayer list with their own prayer group. And as you go about your, business and you stay in contact with those folks and you're telling them how things are going, and if they come back to you and say, how are you doing? What is going on? How more can we pray for you? How more specifically can we pray for you? And you update them. And then that goes out and goes out. You going through whatever it is that you are going through right now is going to impact somebody that you don't even know. That is the beauty of trials and tribulations. That's how God works. One of the ways that God uses you and you don't even think about it. You don't even know it. You're just reaching out for help. With that alone, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be very firm with this because it convicts me too. Without reaching out for help, you are limiting and you're retarding what God is actually trying to do with and then through you. I'm going to repeat that again. You are limiting and you are retarding what God is going to do or is trying to do with and then through you. It may be the most deepest secret. It may be something that is just ripping you apart, and you are going to go, well, I'm going to tell a select group of people. And they're going to, and this isn't about just sharing secrets. This has nothing to do with gossiping. It has everything to do with your trust with them. And then they're going to take that and they are going to then go, okay, I respect who you are. I respect our friendship. I respect what it is that has just happened. And I'm going to package this in a way that can still have prayer about it, but it's in a little more general framework. I have a friend going through this. I have a friend who's going through this, or whatever that is. And that gets passed around. Remember, we used to laugh. We used to laugh at the prayer chain emails and all of those things, but it's actually true. It's actually true. But this happens in a much better way. It's a much different way. And because you decided to honor God, you decided to listen to Him and get that out and go, I need some help. Through that, you are helping someone else. You are helping someone else. I'll tell you the first place you're helping them. God commands us to pray. That's what He commands us. Now he tells us we can pray in different ways. We can ask for different things. It's already set forth. He knows the outcome. He is just getting you to drive into and lean into Him. Your will be done. I know Your will be done, whatever that is. But we were staying faithful with You in our prayer, staying faithful with You in my communication with You. I know that You know the desires and the needs and the wants of my heart, but I am going to verbalize them to You. And then that goes out, and then that goes out. And then let me ask you this, because you were able to do that with your little group, okay, your little select tribe. And there's a show that takes place, you know, Bards FM on Sundays is prayers and praises, right? People share their prayers. Hold on. I took English as a first language. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. And I need this, or I'm asking for this. There's And that's one example. This happened to, that just came into my head. I happen to use that as an example. But there's other places, churches, your Bible study group, wherever. And then somebody takes it on their heart and goes, you know, I've got five other people I need to tell about this. There is so much power in prayer. It just needs to be shared. And then we're going to do that. I had so many people praying. And I'll give you an example too. I'll give you a personal example. My mom passed away 17 October of 20. Hospital killed her because they gave her a ventilator and remdesivir. But for 2 weeks, I updated people with her status. That began to reach so many people. Her friends that lived in Ireland and in Spain and in different parts of the world, they were able to keep up. And then her friends that lived in different parts of the country here in the United States were able to be kept abreast. I didn't have to do it on a singular basis with some of them, although I did. And it reached and it went. And then I was getting messages from people in Ireland who I didn't know, but who were friends with her friends. And they would message me and say, you know, Conley, we're praying for your mom. And we have a whole, my village here in Ireland is praying for your mom. Friends in Spain, solid Christian, just warriors over there. They'd get their village and their town and the people there, and they are praying. People that my mother didn't even know. Now, we were praying for healing. We were praying for her to be able to get out of the hospital and to come home. Did that happen? No, it did not. Was I angry at God? Not once. Not once. Was I angry at the people that killed her? 100%. Same thing with Sammy. Was I angry at Sammy? I mean, was I angry at God because of Sammy and losing Sammy 8 months ago? Not once. Not once. And that's because the very next morning on Sunday, he told me as I was walking down the hill past the pavilion all the way to the smoker, he's with me. He is with me. He is with me. God didn't take Sammy. God did not take my mom. The same goes for you. When you talk about things and you ask for prayer, just like this show, people talk about this and then you got other people listening all over the world. I see it. I see it in my statistics. I see where they're from. Somebody checked in, and when you see 20 and 30 different downloads of your show from that, you're like, well, that person's paying attention, or whoever that is. That's pretty cool. And I'm telling all of you who do that, thank you so much. Thank you. Probably need to seek some mental help and get medicated, but thank you. But that's what God does. And that is the power of God. What you think that may be only unique to you, and it is, because it is you who are going through it. You're not the only one, and you're not the first one. And within telling your story or reaching out to ask for prayer, you are allowing God to work through you and with you at the same time. All the last 30 minutes has all been God. It's been crazy. It's been neat. It's been neat. But we got to get, some of you are hungry. I can tell. I get the energy. I can feel it. I can feel the energy. Some of you guys are hungry. Conley, that wasn't even the long prayer. Yeah, wasn't even the long prayer. I got people going, hey, the man on the speaker just needs to hurry up because I've got to take a shower and I got homework to do. Anyway, that's where we are. That's where we are. Okay. Let's pray. And here's what we're going to do with prayer too. I mean, obviously we're just going to pray, that I would like for everyone, and I'm here, I'm not telling you, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not the boss of you. Pray the way, obviously, that your heart leads. Before the end of the show, prayer is always about thanking him for where we are, thanking him for what it is that is going on in our lives, the not so good stuff and the good stuff at the same time. Be anxious for nothing, in all things, all that stuff. And if you don't, go look him up. There's a whole big thick book. It's got it all in there. You know what I mean? Maybe tonight with your prayer, kind of do an assessment. Do like a personal assessment of how it is that you're praying. Is it demanding? Is it I need this, the kind of the credit card swipe ATM type thing. And if it is, that happens. And I understand that. I'm not judging. I'm not saying any of this in a judgmental way at all. But when we get done, as we pray, just think on that, feel that, feel how that's going. Because really it is just your own personal conversation with God and with Christ. Christ is there. God's there. God's here right now. Thanks for being here, by the way. Thanks, God, for liking and sharing the show. That's the kind of stuff that Conley has to pray for after the show, because that gets a heavenly eye roll. I can tell. I told you that before. Some of you are like, I can't believe you're doing that. I didn't believe he just said that. That's the kind of relationship that I have with my Lord and Savior, and that's the relationship that I have with God. Is he and I do those sorts of things, and I know that, but he knows who I am, and he knows my heart. He knows my heart, and that's the beauty of having that kind of relationship. That is exactly your primary task and purpose, is to show everyone else, the ones who are missing that, the ones who lack that, the ones who may not be, the believers who may not be feeling it at that moment because the weight of things are on them, and you're going to kind of come up under there and you're just going to lift them up a little bit. That's what family does. And this is an awesome family. And it is worldwide. Not just this show, but the numbers and brothers and sisters that we have, the numbers of brothers and sisters that you all have all over the world, all going through their own things. Hey, count your blessings. Have you had anybody come through your town? Have you had anybody come through your village? Threatening to do bad things like our brothers and sisters do in Africa? Are you having to have underground churches like those up in North Korea and over there in China? Put yourself back into perspective with that way too. Let's pray. Father, here comes the long prayer. It is every day that we are so thankful that we get to just individually at different times during the day come to you and talk with you. And we get to lay all of our worries and all of our anxiousness at the feet of the cross that your son was on. And then there's times like now when we get to come together as a group and we just collectively say thank you as a group and then in our own way for your love and your grace and your mercy. You happen to pick us to be here right now at this time. And we're just, you can feel it in when you lay your hand on our hearts, when the Holy Spirit takes control and takes over, it can be overwhelming, but not in a bad way, not in a negative way, not in a not in a heavy way. It's overwhelming, and the tears just flow. There is a release when that happens. It really is an incredible thing to feel. And it's all because you sacrificed your son on the cross. You sent him here to be like us. And then you sent him here to teach us so that we can show everyone else. And then he sacrificed himself on the cross, separated from you for 3 days. And he fulfilled the prophecy and came back. And then he gave the commandment. He gave the Great Commission to the apostles. And that still goes on today. All of that verified. All of it verified. Not just within the Bible, but verified. The only one. We do pray. Try not to use the word hope so much with you. I mean, that's faith. We have faith, which is the hope of things unseen. But we have faith. It's our faith that you equally understand how much we love you back. And it can't and it won't ever be at the level that you do with us. But we just do. And we're here tonight telling you that we do. We are praying that you, when we are confronted, we are praying for this. When we're confronted with things that are in front of us, whether they're financial decisions, whether they're school decisions, whether they are life decisions, whether it's somebody that's in front of us that is attacking us, and whether it's somebody in front of us that's asking what it is that you have, and I want what you have, that you will give us the, like you always do, that we are able to see clearly the directions that you are giving to us. I think we can stop asking for the right directions. You will always give us the right directions. What we're asking for is patience when we may not have our ears and our eyes open at the time that we should. We pray that you will help us keep them open so that we can see and hear those directions. And I'm personally praying for my friends who need that reassurance of strength and reassurance of love, and not necessarily validation then, but that reassurance of strength that they are going and doing the right things. You're not necessarily leading them, but you're holding their hand as you walk along with them. And they can look over at you anytime they want and go, am I doing this right? And you'll be able to tell them yes or no. And it may be another 2 or 3 minutes later, and they may ask you, like I have, am I doing this right? And you just squeeze their hand and say, yes, you're doing this right. Stay with me. Stay with me. It may get a little windy. It may get a little bumpy. But just stay with me. You're going to be okay. Thank you for telling us that all the time. It is always, always in your name that we praise. Your name that we actually pray and praise at the same time. Amen. It's going to be okay. Because he already has that plan for you. He also knows if you're going to get off of the path. He's going to reset and recalculate the GPS. He really won't ever let your hand go. He doesn't want to. I mean, you may jerk it away and then take off. because there is the story of the prodigal son, right? But for the most part, he's going to just, instead of being really close, you're still holding hands and you're just going to kind of wander off. And you're going to feel it. You feel it in your heart. And those are the times when we make the choices and the decisions that we make. Am I going to heed that gentle pull back towards the path? Or am I going to just stretch away and continue to go off? I'm going to walk on the side of the path if I want to. He's like, but it's really thorny over there and you don't need to. And it is a whole lot easier if you're here with me. We're going to have our own little travails a little bit up and down the road. Don't make it any worse than you have to. How many times would you do that as a parent? I mean, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. And yes, we know you all got just as frustrated with your kids. He knows that too. Later tonight, it's Bards FM. I think he's back home. Guilty Christians later tonight too. If not, just take a break. Be able to just to kind of commune with God a little bit. You don't have to be so super busy. You can definitely take some time for yourself where you can just have a moment to just breathe, settle your heart rate a little bit. It doesn't always have to be go, go, go. That's how these people want you to be. They want you elevated and they want you, ooh, ooh, ooh. And you get tired. You get worn down a little bit. Just manage that some. All right. Tomorrow's Friday. In case you didn't know, I actually had to look up what today was. I thought for the longest time today, I knew yesterday was Wednesday. I knew it. And yet today, I thought today was Wednesday. It's Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday. Just double checking. Tomorrow's Friday. We're going to keep it a little bit lighter. Yes, we're going to probably mock some people, maybe shame them a little bit. We're also going to go to the direction that God leads the show. 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock on the East Coast, 4 p.m. Pacific, 5 Mountain Time. Thank you all so much for being here tonight. We went an hour and a half. It didn't seem like it, but we did. It's a long one. Thanks for hanging around. Thanks for sharing the show. Thanks for being friends. And thanks for not attacking the podcast host. Yeah, 6 p.m. real time. That would be Texas time. Thanks for not attacking the podcast host too much. English is still his first language, even though he doesn't speak it all that well. Have a blessed evening. Have an even better day tomorrow. See you tomorrow night. See you, bye. Oh, wait. Before that, I got to tell you this. I got to remind you. We prayed. Okay. It wasn't that big a deal. Yes, exactly. You and we are blessed. We are so blessed. We're blessed to call each other friends. We're blessed to call each other families. We are blessed by the blood of the Lamb that saved us. And because of that, you, have that same fierceness that Christ had when he walked this earth. You have that same fierceness. You may be like, I don't have it. Yes, you do. He gave it to you. He told you he had it. Told you you had it and that you have it. That man stood with the Romans and was flogged. That man was nailed to a cross. That man had 3 days separate from the Father. That man returned 3 days later. That's why every day we celebrate Resurrection Day. You don't just have that happen on one day. That's something to celebrate every day. But he did all of that. And you, each of you have that same fierceness within you. It is within all of us. And it is within you. That is amazing. See you, bye.
put the hell in this town like it's going out of style. Now it's time to get the hell out of here for a while. Me and Charlene had a wicked kind of love, but she's married to a cop with black leather gloves. And I, ooh, it's too late. Now I'm running from the law down the interstate. See the devil won't wear horns and a tail. He'll be what you want when your soul's for sale. And ooh, it's too late. Ooh, it's too late. We thought we were safe in a biker bar. One drink in was one too far. An undercover cop saw it all go down. And talk is cheap, but it gets around. And I, ooh, it's too late. Now I'm running from the law down the interstate. See the devil won't wear horns and a tail. He'll be what you want when your soul's for sale. And ooh, it's too late. Ooh, it's too late. The only thing that's keeping me alive is a touch of her hand and a 45. It's better me than him. He can't rest in peace and now live in sin. Ooh, it's too late. Now I'm running from the law down the interstate. See the devil won't wear horns and a tail. Could be what you want when your soul's for sale. And ooh, it's too late. Ooh, it's too late.
Well, I think we went long enough. I almost had a birthday. You know what I mean? That was crazy. That's good. Hour and a half. No commercials. This isn't a syndicated show. No commercials, no top of the hour news break. That was just, and it's a blessing when you guys call in. I just would like to remind you, this is a call-in show. Your voices are just as equally important than, if not more so than the podcast host. Remember that. You guys are awesome. Use your voices. Use them. You never called into anything before in your life. This is the place to cut your teeth on it. We're writing in crayons with this show. Don't forget about that. Love every single one of you. See you tomorrow. Later.